DavidRanicky.com, great website, the man himself. Love chatting with him when I get a chance. He's with me now. David, hello. Welcome.
Back with you again, Wilco.
It is always good to be back with you. Now, tell me about the Planet Patrol project from NASA. This is nothing new for them, but what are they ramping it up or what are they doing here?
Well, it's a way of getting the public involved with what NASA are doing, and they've, for, you know, many years they've realised that there's a hidden treasure of people out there that are quite capable of downloading material
yes.
onto a computer. And what they're saying to everyone is, look, join what we call Planet Patrol. It's called a citizen science project. Now, citizen science projects have come in various shapes and forms over the years, not only for astronomy but for other areas too. The whole idea behind this is to get, I think, as many computers as they can, many computers and many, many people as they can, to volunteer to download material that the satellite, the transiting exoplanet survey satellite, which simply is a planet finder,
yeah.
download the information in the way of photographs and sift through them and find out if any planets there fit the criteria of what we're looking for in another world there. They collect hundreds of thousands of photographs. Now, they all have thousands of possible planets, these stars. So they want people to examine the data. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be smart. You just have to be able to sit there and look at some warning signals that come up. The whole thing works in the background while you're asleep, while you're watching TV. And if there's anything that does come up in the data, the software will nominate that. And when you see it, you just forward it on to them. That's pretty good. Anyone wanting to do that, any of your listeners that want to be involved with it, it's a good way of helping NASA find other planets around other stars.
Reminds me of SETI, my friend. Doesn't that sound... Reminds me of SETI, something they did in the 70s.
Same thing, yeah. SETI program is the same. This is called Planet Patrol, P-L-A-N-E-T, Patrol, and it's a citizens' science project. So just Google Planet Patrol, you should be right.
Yeah, SETI for the new age. All right, the WOW signal. It's been around a long time. Has there been a sort of rethinking on what it's all about?
Always has been. This is one that's tantalised me over the years, and I don't quite know. Nobody really knows the answer to this story. But it's an interesting story, and it could be that way back in the distant past there, we may have been contacted by another civilization. When I say might, there's a very small chance that it could have happened. Let's just backpedal a little bit to a movie called Contact.
Yes.
With Jodie Foster.
Yes, love it.
Now, that was an adaptation of Carl Sagan's 1985 novel called Contact. But where did Sagan get the idea from? Well, we think he may have got it from a group of radio astronomers, young kids, young people, in Ohio in 1977. Operating what's called the Big Ear Radio Telescope, a powerful signal was picked up by this transmitter, or no, the receiver, and sent into the machine and recorded. So this signal lasted 72 seconds. Now, the background to this is simply that they got a lot of Army surplus material and decided to use it as like you'd use radar. But they were picking up, they were pointing to a place in the sky called Sagittarius. Now, that was a place we believed there were planets around other stars. The equipment was only basic. They were only new. This is the first SETI project that anyone ever knew about. It was just a shot in the dark. So they pointed their equipment there and let it run. They let it run in the background day and night for many, many months. Nothing was happening. Nothing came of it until one morning, one of the astronomers came in there to check the gear. And on the graph paper, there's a huge spike.
Right.
Like you see when you see a seismograph and it was an earthquake. Now, this spike was massive. It was huge. In fact, it was probably 50 times stronger than what they expected, and it fitted the criteria of the signal. Now, apparently this was a contrived signal, one sent out by a machine or some sort of a person or some intelligently made device. By the sound of it,
yeah.
it fitted every criteria they were looking at, and the strength of it was amazing. Now, it only lasted for 72 seconds, and it was a narrowcast signal, is what I was trying to think of, and it came into the equipment and moved straight out again because the Earth was turning. Now, this when they saw this, when the young astronomer saw that spike, he wrote on it with a red pen on the paper, W-O-W, and it's now become known as the WOW signal. over the succeeding decades and even up until present day, they've gone back over there, over that same part of the sky and scanned it again. But we've never, ever found the WOW signal again. It's never come up again. Nobody knows to this day what it was. So the question is, did we pick up something man-made out there in 1977? Don't know. Was it the background noise of something or an object out there that may have made this noise, naturally produced noise? We know pulsars, quasars, magnetars, crashing in together, neutron stars, gravitation, you name it. There are a lot of things we didn't know about the sky, but it didn't seem to fit there. The wavelength, everything about it fitted what they wanted to receive, which was a strong intelligent signal. So the third part of the what if, or what was it, could have been, or was it a case that we were being scanned way back in 1977?
Yes.
Was somebody sending a message to us and we weren't good enough to pick it up? Had we received that signal today, it would have been locked onto, catalogued, and we could go back over it and revise it and find out exactly where it came from in the sky. But in those years, they didn't have that facility. So unfortunately, the WOW signal's been lost to history. But isn't it tantalising to think that, what if?
I'm wondering if it was an alien spacecraft going by, the scan thing. Because now we try and track stuff back to its source now.
Well, look, if somebody was out there and you're looking or you're sending a signal out saying, look, I'm here, you would send it out in a scanned wave. You wouldn't know where you were looking. So you would just point it to the sky and then slowly move your transmitter across in the hope that somebody picks it up.
Yeah.
Even if we did pick it up, what use would it have been to us? Well, if it was a 1,000-year-old signal, there's no way you want to reply to that. You're never going to live long enough to find out what the answer is.
That's true.
It doesn't matter if we can't reply to it, if we do get a signal. It doesn't matter if we can't even work out what they're saying. If we can determine that it is from an extraterrestrial origin, it means that we don't have to keep asking that age-old question anymore. We'd have the answer. And that question is, are we alone?
We know we're not, but we need proof. Scientists need proof. But anyway.
Yeah, well, that's what we're trying to do. But this is a great story. It's on my website for anyone who wants to read the full details.
DavidRedicky.com, I love it. Now, 3D printing is a thing. I mean, schools are into it these days. Now, there's a company that want to use 3D printing to get stuff happening on the moon, which to me sounds like marriage made in heaven.
This is really, when you think about it, it's a Texas-based company called Icon. And they're well known for 3D printing houses. They've done that many times here. They started up what's called Project Olympus. Now, this is to develop space-based construction systems. What they want to do is build a bigger 3D printer. Instead of printing out framework for houses here, they want to print out a variety of frameworks to be built and put on places like the moon and Mars. It sounds crazy, but it can be done.
Yeah.
A large-scale 3D printer could build infrastructure on the moon or Mars using all the available soil. So all these things are happening now at the right sort of time, too, when we're just about to step out into that big wide ocean there called the universe, a place we've never been before. And we're going to need this type of technology if we're going to settle there and survive there.
I reckon 3D spaceships would be the way to go. That's the next leap of technology, because if we can make them that cheap, then we can transport anything into space. I mean, we talk about space elevators, we talk about cheap rockets getting to the moon. Printing a device that'll get us to somewhere close to our solar system would just be beneficial. But more on that at DavidRedicky.com. By the way, apparently there's some good readers' questions on the website too. Is that people asking you questions, or you found the answers, or have you been doing some extra hard work, mate?
It's a combination of some of the main common things that people ask. How big is the universe? Where's the center?
Yep.
What is a blue moon? By the way, there's a blue moon this month.
Yes.
Two full moons in the one calendar month. It'll be on the last day of the 31st. Why is there a ring around the moon? Can you see the Great Wall of China from space? All these answers, all these questions are up on there.
Did someone ask you about the center of the universe? Like, where is it? I mean, that's a tough one.
It is, but it's not. And the answer is not going to be satisfactory to many people. But when you think about it, which I have quite a lot over the years, it's got a lot of sense to it. Wherever you are is the center. Because wherever we go in the universe, wherever we look, we can't find the end of it.
Oh.
So if you've got something that has no end to it, no beginning, that you can find, anywhere you go is the center. You don't have any boundary to work with. You have no perimeter. So anywhere you go in the universe, everything is moving away from you. If we measure the stars from planet Earth here and then move up, you know, to another star system like Alpha Centauri, and we measure the same sort of stars, we'd find them moving away at the same rate in the same direction that we did on our own, in our own system.
So it's okay to be selfish in the universal sense then?
Yeah, it's crazy. But the answer to the question, it's a good question. Where's the center of the universe? Well, it's wherever you're standing at the moment.
There's more great answers at davereneke.com. Have a look at it and check him out on Facebook as well. He's got some really cool ways of looking into the night sky. And that's going well for you, I'm assuming, down your part of the world?
Yeah, we're doing good. Mars is high in the sky at the moment in the evening. It's beautiful. Go and have a look at it. It happens to be the closest to us at the moment it's been since 2003. It's a brilliant red beacon around 7:30 at night. Go and have a look. In the east, you'll see this brilliant red star-like object. If you look through a telescope, you might make out the little disc shape too. Ooh. Mars, by the way, when you look at it, remember this, it's the only planet, Bilko, inhabited by robots.
True. All those rovers, exactly.
We sent them all there.
So we need to go and claim it back for humanity, which I'm sure we'll do in the next 5 or 6 years. All right, David, till next week, mate.
Talk to you. Bye-bye.